Jamie Brown. We are back again for another episode of the Circling Rectangle Show after another massive weekend of A-League men's action. And you even got some live football in, Jamie.
Yeah, got to go to a game. Got to go to a, what do we call it? We call it the Inconvenience, but McArthur was trying really hard.
It's called a Sydney Derby.
Allegedly, but, you know.
Supposedly by everyone else that isn't involved with either Western Sydney Wanderers or Sydney FC.
Yeah, to those who really have no say or a club that's irrelevant, it's a Sydney derby. But to those of us involved in the east and the west of the city, it's just an inconvenience. But I was there, and it was good. It was a good game, and Sydney FC won. So, but
and even I got free. I got free tickets to that game as well. Didn't actually need tickets because I parked on the top level of the West League's car park, sat there with a beer and watched the end of the first half before I went inside and enjoyed a delicious meal. But that's actually a good place to watch football, the top car park of West Leagues, if you want to see 3,000 people in a Sydney derby.
I mean, there was a little bit more than 3,000, only because
I can only count to 3,000. That's as high as I got. There was definitely more than
we bought four or five in Sydney, but you know, it's, yeah, they can pretend to, they're irrelevant. They can pretend they're relevant in the landscape of like New South Wales football, but they're really not. There's four clubs and one inconvenience. But, you know, we bashed McArthur enough. Maybe we should just get straight into it, eh?
Man, maybe we'll get to the bashing, more bashing later. Trust me, it's always
absolutely.
But yeah, there was six matches this week, as there is every week, except for the first week because of a postponement. But six matches, and we'll get right into the results.
The results are in.
And we kick off, Jamie Brown, with the Friday night fixture, which saw my Western Sydney Wanderers 2 defeat flying high Newcastle Jets 0. I think in this one, Arthur Pappas just got it completely wrong.
Yeah, we talked about it before we recorded, but they kind of went away from what they've been doing all year, which is attacking football. They have some incredibly creative attacking players in Thurgate, Datsmelia, Mikkel Tatse, Piscopo in that team, and yet they just decided to try and hold Western Sydney, who, let's face it, haven't been really an attacking threat, but more solid defensively, and it was just, yeah, they got it wrong, unfortunately.
Yeah, Wanderers haven't, yeah, it's the first time all year that Wanderers have scored two goals in a match, and but yeah, defensively, that's all Wanderers. Well, Wanderers have just gone with the John Aloisi Western United tactic of 21-22 season of just, doesn't matter if you can't score goals, as long as your opponents don't score, you win games. Yeah. And that's what the Wanderers had been doing.
Yeah, and you got a better goalkeeper in Lawrence Thomas. He had an absolute blinder.
Oh, but... my, that save from 6 yards out.
Yeah.
That is a shoe-in goal. Surely he must. And Thomas knew it was a massive save because even while the ball is still in danger, he's there screaming in excitement about how good that save was. And from the RVB, it looked amazing. But, yeah, Brendan Borrello scoring his first goal for the Western Sydney Wanderers. Yeah, second goal, very good. Very nice. Yeah. Cutting in onto his weaker left side. And look, I thought the goalkeeper could have done a little bit more, but he obviously was blindsided by the shot that went through about three or four players before sneaking into the bottom corner. But the big one for me, a man that I said would be pretty good this year, he'd been looking very good, Romain Amalfitano scoring his first goal in the Isuzu A-League men's competition. A lovely outside of the foot goal. Look, we should have scored before that because we hit the post twice. But look, he was Johnny on the spot to... finally net a goal for the Wanderers in front of the RBB. First one all year. We've scored four goals now at the Parramatta Stadium or Combank Stadium. Three of them at the away end, so it was good to see that we could actually celebrate with the players. But in the true European style, he ran straight to the corner flag.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of it. Players aren't really celebrating in front of the actives when they score in front of the actives this year. I think Adelaide's the best for it. They actually do celebrate in front of the Red Army or whatever the hell they're called. But yeah, it's just funny. You score in front of your diehard loyal active support, and you just
for the first time this season, and boom, corner flag.
Yeah, first chance to celebrate straight to the corner flag.
I tell you what, that's the European inning. But look, a very dominant performance from the Western Sydney Wanderers. Clean sheet.
Yeah,
another 3 points and two goals to continue their top of the table form. But we move into the Saturday fixtures,
and the early fixtures.
Oh my goodness, the early fixture game of the year. Surely this has got to go down as the most enthralling bit of football we have seen in the A-League men's for a long time. Brisbane Roar 0, Melbourne Victory 0. My God, what a game of football this was.
If you are looking for a game to clip the highlights of and send it overseas and say, this is what we do in Australia, this is not the game that you would clip. This was garbage. Brisbane Roar red card, keeper red carded, probably wrongfully. I didn't really think he did anything wrong. D'Agostino kind of went down pretty softly, but, you know, red card nonetheless. We've seen those questionable decisions all season. Sydney FC has been on the end of a few of them. But, yeah, a terrible game. I don't know if this is like Melbourne Victory is nowhere near as good as we thought they would be, or if Brisbane Roar and Warren Moon structurally and technically, he might have just got it right, knowing going down a man, knowing what to do. But this was a game that I'm glad I missed. Yeah, yeah. I didn't miss much.
I was playing my Saturday sports, but yeah, enthralling game of football, which saw Melbourne Victory with 66% of the possession, a staggering 29 shots on goal for Melbourne Victory to Brisbane's 9. But this is the key stat. This is why this game ended nil all. Of those 29 shots, 18 blocked. So Brisbane Roar just absolutely putting their bodies on the line, getting in the way. 9 shots off target and only 2 shots on target.
This is my boys, Victory team.
Boys, you wouldn't believe it. The name of this show is Circle in Rectangle. And that's the idea of football. Someone, please, for the love of God, just put the circle in the rectangle.
Is the pressure starting to get to Tony Popovich? He's got this star-studded team full of young superstars and some international superstars, and a loss at home to the Wanderers. A lucky derby win against Sydney FC in round one, but unimpressive other than that. It's, I think we may have got that one wrong. Like we got West United wrong last year. We may have got Melbourne Victory wrong.
Maybe. 1 win, 2 losses and a draw to start off Melbourne Victory season. But look, full credit to Brisbane Roar, like staggering defence, going down a man with 40 minutes left to play. Incredible stuff.
Yeah, not much your marquee man can do in that sort of circumstances. He's meant to be a goal scorer. When you're down a man, you can't score goals. But, you know, maybe we'll see more of him this weekend against Sydney FC. I'm pretty confident we will. But moving on to the next game, this for me was game of the round. This
was fantastic to watch because I got to watch the end of this game. And I got to watch most of this game. Central Coast Mariners 4 defeating Western United 2. Western United, Jamie Brown could be in for a bit of vindication here because I think he has got this absolutely spot on. They are dead last on the ladder on 1 point after 4 rounds. And look, this game was they had this game completely in control, 2-0 at halftime. And then 3 minutes into the second half, A-League stalwart Nikolai Topol-Stanley with probably the worst challenge of the year. And VAR coming in clutch this time and accurately overturning a yellow card into a red card and completely changed the flow of the game.
Yeah, like you said, they were in control. 2 really good goals in the first half. Putting the foot on the throat, halftime, Topol-Stanley, absolute nonce. What the hell are you thinking? Your team's up, just, you know. But then from that moment on, it was the Garang Kuol show. He just went superstar mode. And I mean, I'm a little lucky with my vindication. Topol-Stanley being an absolute moron and a bell end getting red carded really helped in getting the West United loss. But credit to the Mariners. I think it was 2-1 when he got sent off, wasn't it?
It was 2-0 when he got sent off.
Okay, so it was 2-0, but they scored pretty quickly after it.
They scored. Actually, Jamie, I've got it here. The red card was in the, I believe, 48th minute, 3 minutes into the second half.
Fucking.
Central Coast's first goal didn't come until the 67th, so almost 20 minutes after. So the West United were doing their best to hold on, but look, the pressure just got to them. And Central Coast Mariners, 4 goals in 20 minutes.
And probably could have had more. Cummings rightly ruled out for 1 goal in the first half. I think he had a second one that was chalked out as well for the second ball on the pitch, which I get it. It's a rule. It had nothing to do with the play. The players knew where the ball was going, and we'll move on from that. But yeah, 4 goals in 20 minutes. Nick Montgomery, a masterclass. Garang Kuol, no wonder why he's going to the Premier League next year because he is a superstar. Alu Kuol said his brother was better than him, and no one believed him because they always say that. He might be right.
I think he might be right. Alu Kuol is right on track for some vindication because he's bang on. His younger brother is somewhat better than him, but that's what Alu Kuol is also quite good doing some bits overseas in Germany. But the Cum Dingo, mate, 1 goal, 2 assists in a 4-2 win. The man loves football, and surely he's getting that Socceroos call up.
He has to. You want to pick strikers in form. McLaren's in form. Cum Dingo's in form. And he loves doing it. And he wants to do it for the Socceroos. He just loves scoring goals. Loves getting goals. those of you who captained him in your fantasy team this week, me and Jared, are very happy with that 48 points that he earned us to get our wins. But this game was just everything. It had everything. Early goals, red cards, comebacks.
It had really good goals too. Both Western United goals to open the account were really good. Connor Payne, what a strike that was into the
top
corner.
What a strike. Goal of the week, if not for another goal.
If not for what happened later. Yeah, it was really good, yeah. this game had everything you wanted in A-League football match. This is why the A-League is the best league in the world. It's just got everything.
Yep.
And including controversy, which is what is in our next match, the Sydney Derby.
Not much talking about.
As MacArthur FC have dubbed it. Sydney Derby, which saw MacArthur FC 2 defeated at home to Sydney FC 3. Now, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, in every single Sydney Derby between these two clubs, the home team has lost.
Yep, which is why I had a lot of confidence going into this one away, going to this game on the train with the Cove. I was confident because, like you said, home team never wins these derbies in inverted commas.
This inconvenience, yes.
And boy, did Sydney FC get off to a strong start. Like a nice early goal, well-deserved, no
Philip
controversy Curto at all.
Curto making 4 saves in the first 2 minutes.
I can't believe it.
And 4 very good saves, mind you.
So, you know, MacArthur fans, bitch and whinge about the penalty all you like, but you are only in that game because of your goalkeeper. If that's any other goalkeeper, that's a 6 or 7-2 win. Maybe not even 2, but, you know, credit to Curto. Phenomenal performance from him. But, look, I don't see anything wrong with that penalty.
I can see why it was given a penalty, because I've seen less challenges given penalties are not overturned. For me, like, Robert Mack does initiate the contact. Miller does go to ground. And it's Miller's arm that then, like, goes across Robert Mack's body, causing his legs to clip and him go down. I can see why it's given a penalty. I can see why people are complaining about it. At the end of the day, your goalkeeper saved it for you.
Yeah, and you really got to look at that defense for not following up from the save. Do they not have faith in this phenomenal goalkeeper who I think is, with what we've seen from Jamie Young, is probably the best goalkeeper in the league, maybe aside from Lawrence Thomas. Did they just not have faith that he was going to be able to pull off a save? Sydney FC is not good at penalties. Lafondre missed one. Now Robert Max missed one. You've got to be ready and just expecting it to be a miss, but credit to Paddy Wood. If you watch the
Paddy
replay,
Wood, Johnny on the spot, mate. That was fantastic.
That positioning and the run, it's just
If you actually watch his movement during the pen, he goes from one side of the D to the other, all the way around it to get that explosive bit of pace.
Yep.
In the event that the keeper did make a save or rebounds off the post and he was on the spot to bury it for a 1-0 lead, but Miller again on the score sheet in less than 2 minutes to make it 1-1 before even more controversy, Jamie Brown.
All right. I don't see the controversy in this one.
Yeah, but that's because you've got your blue-coloured glasses on.
Look, I can agree that it might not have been a penalty because you're right, Mac does initiate the contact, but Paddy Wood, we know how quick he is. Gets the right position, gets the ball in front of him, the defender's behind him, the next closest defender is also behind him, and Aspro takes him down. That, to me, is a red card. He is in on goal. It's denying a clear goal-scoring opportunity. I'm sorry, MacArthur fans, bitch and whinge all you like. Put up your little petty TikToks that you're going to get fined for, hopefully, and maybe some dock some points. But, you know, that's
I've docked them all the points. Yeah. But, orange card, it's one of those ones, yellow. I could see why the referee initially gave it the yellow, but VAR, I think, again, made the right decision by calling him over to look at it again. From the initial angle, you can't see that he is the last man because that back line is in a genuinely well-structured line.
Yep.
However, from the camera angle that we get and the VAR gets, Aspronomides is the last defender by a good mile.
Yeah.
Paddy Wood gets, again, the wrong side of him. He's through on goal. Paddy Wood is, as you said, quick. Yeah, he may be 30 yards from goal, but the letter of the law is, did he deny a clear and obvious goal-scoring opportunity? Yes, because if he doesn't make that foul, Paddy Wood is away from every single MacArthur FC defender and is one-on-one with the goalkeeper.
And again, lack of faith in your goalkeeper to make a save. He probably would have saved it one-on-one.
Paddy Wood probably would have missed it.
Yeah, I've seen him one-on-one this season. It's not pretty, but hey, you know, you want to not have faith in the best goalkeeper in the league? Hey, that you do you, MacArthur defense. But, you know, no controversy there in my mind. Even as a Sydney FC fan, I can look at the penalty as, yeah, maybe we got lucky there, but no doubt in my mind it was a red. The second they showed it on the video screen and the referee went over, you knew it was going to be overturned. And in my mind, finally, Sydney FC are on the good end of a red card call, because last week's was garbage, but this one was fair.
What do you mean? Sydney FC were on the good end of the call last week when
it was a dodgy call and you were on the right side of it. I know, but like, Sydney conspiracy last week, this one, there's nothing. It's a red card.
End of the day, Asprey made a bad touch. Paddy Wood got in behind and he brings him down. It's a red card. Yeah. Like, it is what it is. And then that's when it still didn't make the game a blowout.
We're worse with more players on the field. I would rather no red cards against us because we are terrible.
You've drawn and barely won.
We are not good when we are up
Robert, Robert Mack, again, on the score sheet. He's having a fantastic start to the season.
Amazing season.
Taking a 2-1 lead into the halftime. And then Adrian Segacic, you spoke about this man when we were watching him in the NPL stage. You said, this kid's going to be good. He gets his first A-League men's goal. But again, MacArthur on the break, come back in the 87th minute, made it a really good game to finish.
And realistically, they almost drew the game right
at the with the crossbar.
Hit the crossbar. So again, Sydney's defense is terrible. Donaghy's not worth the money we're paying him. Gerd was good. I got to give Gerd credit. He made a lot of good intercept passes and was quick enough to get in behind and chase down players, but shaky at the back. Thankfully, we got the win. With that Segacic goal, it was made straight out of our youth academy. Jaden Kucharski, I've talked about him a lot with you and your brother at games, and he's the one who, as soon as that ball got played through, looked up to the back post and first time across the goals, knew where Segi was going to be, and it's made out of our youth academy. And I think Kucharski needs to get more game time because he is something special for the future. And, I mean, so Segi. Those three up front, Segi, Paddy, and Jaden Kucharski, that's, you know, 2-3 years' time, that's going to be a deadly three-peat for Sydney FC if we can keep him. Corica has a pretty bad record of doing that. But, hey, who knows? We got him at the moment. Let's hope that we can continue. I wish we still had Tilio and Vendersage, Neuenhoff and Talbot. But, you know.
Oh, mate, you guys letting Neuenhoff go. He was on fire. That's a crime.
Can't see talent. He just
has probably been Wanderers' best player this year. The amount of work he does. He did, except he hit the post, but that's all right. Like,
fucking Ninkovic assist as well. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Corica is just... maybe he's getting it right tactically, but as a man manager, he is terrible.
But look, we move away from the controversy. Sydney FC's massive win in a Sydney derby to the Sunday fixtures, which saw Adelaide United with Ibusaki lining up because his red card was rescinded, even getting on the score sheet. Adelaide United 2 defeating Perth Glory 1, but that 1 from Colley
my God.
If you want a consolation goal, this is it.
Remember that player, Hakan Çanakkale, the way he would hit a ball?
Let's not talk about that, man.
That was Çanakkale. I know he did a lot of things against your Wolfsburg, but that was Çanakkale-esque. I mean, what is Gauchy supposed to do?
He just stood there and watched it because that is knuckled into the top corner from 30 yards out.
I'm surprised he didn't clap the goal when it went in because that was just, I mean, phenomenal strike. Unfortunately, it didn't get him a result in the end. Maybe Bruno Fonaroli could have helped with that. But Adelaide, I mean, no one really talks about Adelaide, but a 2-1 win at home, christening their new stadium, unlike Sydney FC. Well, not new stadium, but new stand, unlike Sydney FC could do. And it was that man again, Craig Goodwin.
Craig Goodwin and Ibusaki.
God damn, he's good.
He's soft as
an egg yolk, but, you know, he
scores goals. He does good football.
He really does. And Van der Sarg playing in that team in the right back, it makes me sad because we had him. But I still don't think they're going to do much this season. They'll probably miss the six because Sydney FC is a lot better than what I gave them credit for. But, my God, if Craig Goodwin's not on that Socceroos team, as much as I don't like how soft he is, I don't know what, I mean, he fails when he goes overseas to play in different leagues, but when he's in the A-League, he is a big fish in a little pond. And that goal, I mean, he had all the time, no one closed him down. He looked over his shoulder for like 30 seconds before deciding, I'll just volley this, whatever. Perth Glory, you got to look at your defending there, but, you know, full credit to Adelaide United getting a tough win at home. I don't think Carl Viet's that great a manager, but hey, a win's a win. You count them at home. They got Fortress Cooper Stadium.
Cooper Stadium is a tough place to go, but Adelaide United again looking strong. I'm pretty sure I had them in the top six, and they're looking the goods at the moment. But we move on to the final match of the round, which saw Melbourne City 2, and your man Ufuk Tale, tactical masterclass in the second half, which saw Wellington Phoenix 2 late goals to have a 2-2 draw against minor premiers and easily one of the best teams in the league. Oh my God. Yeah. This was an exciting game of football.
I mean, I had to go to bed early because of an early start, but when I saw 2-0 at halftime, it was really tight with me and my competitor in the fantasy competition. He had McLaren as captain. I'm like, well, 2-0 already. He's already got a goal. He's going to score another one. I'm going to lose this one. To wake up that morning watching the mini match and see that it was 2-2, Wellington Phoenix away from New Zealand, getting it done. I'm telling you, Hufitale, he's probably the best tactical manager in the game. He doesn't have a lot to play with at the Knicks, but he does a great job with what he's got, and they're only going to get better when players come back. Ugarkovic played really well. I think he got the assist for the second goal to make it 2-2. Costa Barbarousis just...
90th minute. That's how late can you leave it to get a point?
I mean, he was a victory player, a Sydney player, loves to fuck City, and he's done it again. And this is it's a tight league this year, man. Even Perth Glory looks solid. West United are probably the weakest of the bunch at the moment, which I picked. But, you know, to go to Melbourne against City with a full strength team and come away with a point, you know, Ufuk-Tale's got to be happy with that, especially going down 2-0.
Like, you do have to remember, Jamie, we are only four rounds in, but
I know, but
no, the table is looking nice and tight, which is good to see. But yes, Sam Sutton with Wellington Phoenix first, and then Costa Barbarousis in the 90th minute to take the point away from Melbourne City. But look, that's an exciting round of football, and there was a lot of goals scored this week, but there can only be one goal of the week.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
And oh my goodness is right, Jamie Brown, this week's Goal of the Week winner for round four is...
Robert Mack, Sydney FC. Nah, just joking.
You shut your fucking mouth.
If Brendan Speed was watching this game, he would have had that exact same reaction when Giordano Colli absolutely rocketed that knuckleball into the Adelaide net. It's probably going to be Goal of the Year, let's be real.
It's up there.
It's head and shoulders above anything else we've seen this year. And
I mean, surely Marcello's goal against Melbourne Victory is up there as well. That's a fucking banger as well. But no, this 30 yards out, half a step run up, just punts it, knuckles into the top corner. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
Yeah, someone else needs to snap him away from Perth Glory because he is wasted over there with shots like that. Maybe it's the only good thing he's going to do all year, but goddamn, congratulations, Giordano. That was a phenomenal strike and well deserved of our Goal of the Week. You can't hands down.
There was no picking.
Nah,
Renda Barella was up there.
He that was a good strike. That was going to be. Oh no, Connor Payne's was going to be
Connor
after
Payne's
Brendan
Borrello's. Yeah.
And then I saw Colley's and I'm like, nah, it's done. Goal of the Week.
Easy.
Hands down.
You know what the best part about picking Goal of the Week? When they make it that easy.
Yeah. I mean, it was easy, but it also wasn't. There was some. Any other week, we probably have a tough call for Goal of the Week, but when that happens, you know, it's down to one instead of out of four. So
this is why the Isuzu Elite A-League men's competition is the best in the world. Goals like this.
Every week you're getting a goal like that. It could have been Lolly a couple of times against MacArthur. Brandon Borrello's strike was phenomenal. So was Connor Payne's, but, you know, you can't take it away from Giordano Colli. So, yeah, congrats, mate. Perth Glory getting a piece of silverware or a weekly award.
Someone almost took it away from Irukunda with the bike. Almost took it away. Even if he just assisted with the bike, it was winning outstanding. But Colli, that 30-yard strike is well deserved of this week's Goal of the Week.
Yeah.
But we move on to Jamie Brown's favourite segment, and even your favourite segment. Everyone else loves this segment. It is Hot Topics.
Yeah, I'm a hot topic. And
we have a lot of topics to get through this week on the Circle and Rectangle Show. And one of them is probably my favorite bit of statistics. Jamie Brown, we are four rounds in to the Isuzu Ute A-League men's season, and there have been 7 red cards.
It's do you call it an epidemic or a pandemic of
red
cards? It's
the best league in the world is what it is.
But, and in fairness, only one of those has been overturned, and it was a gross injustice for Adelaide. But, you know, the SAS one week one was a red card. Most of them have been the right call, but I don't know.
SAS week one, that's a red card. Brilliante, second yellow, that's a red card.
That's a red card.
Ibusaki, overturned. Good decision.
Fair.
Topo Stanley, that's a red card. That's You've almost ended the young man's career.
Yep. Doesn't care about the Socceroos.
That's a red card. Thomas Lamb, two yellows. You wouldn't believe it. That equals a red card.
Yep. And
Jordan Holmes, you silly goose.
That's right. Yeah, the goalkeeper for Brisbane. I don't know if it's the referees are clamping down on these tackles or if players are getting more reckless and stupid. You know, back-to-back yellow cards is just a mental brain slip, like with Brillante. The Holmes one probably wasn't a red card. It probably won't get overturned because it's very close on the line. But, you know, the likes of Topor Stanley, Sass, even Aspropotamatis, those are just red cards. They're straight red cards. And fair play, Nicola Topor Stanley got 3 weeks, and so he should, because dragging the studs down a superstar like that just because he's better than you and he beat you, pull your head in, Nico. I mean, you wouldn't be in that team if it wasn't for MI being out injured. But, you know, he's just
the lost a step. The thing is, Jamie, is our football players getting dumber? And the tackle's getting worse? Or is it because VAR is now picking up everything? Because if you imagine these tackles in the days of Rio Ferdinand, Kevin Muscat, Vinny Jones, they're play on.
Danny Tiato, shout out my friend Pat Holly, loves him. But yeah, you're right, because a lot of them have been overturned yellow cards. Like Topor Stanley stays on the field if there's no VAR. Aspropotamatis stays on the field if there's no VAR. I think even the Holmes one, he was yellowed originally, was he not? Or was that straight red?
I think it was just a straight red.
Okay.
Because he was goalkeeper out of the box.
Yeah. But, you know, so there's a few that would have been overturned. So maybe you're right. VAR is just getting a better look at it and we're getting better decisions. But, I mean, I saw that exact tackle from Topor Stanley in the Premier League the week before. So maybe, you know, he's just a big kid and he just watched one of his superstar heroes do it. And he thought, hey, I'm going to have a crack at that. I'm going to rake my studs down a guy's calf. But...
Or maybe he just watched Anthony Caceres get away with one last week and go, oh, if anyone else can do it.
No, that was a legitimate yellow card. Or Ben Halloran. I'm just going to stomp on this guy's foot and get away with it completely. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess it makes it more interesting, especially when your team's on the good end of a red card decision, as Sydney FC have been twice. But, yeah, We'll have to just keep an eye on it.
How about just don't get sent off?
Yeah, yeah.
How about just play to the letter of the law and just kick a ball, play good football.
Yeah, be physical, but you know, don't bend the rules too much. Because I just go back to Topor Stanley's one. Like, what the hell were you thinking? He was way gone. It was a red card for just a blatant foul.
He was 2 feet off the ground, with studs showing. That is musket esque.
Ball nowhere near it. Just studs down the calf. Thankfully, it didn't injure Garang, and he went on to be a superstar, and he'll play for the Socceroos again. But yeah, I don't know what you say about it. I mean, we just have to watch to see if it calms down or if it gets even worse, which, you know, I'm all for goals, and red cards means less players on the field and it means goals. I just wish...
Unless you play for Melbourne Victory.
Yeah, then it just...
Or Sydney FC, because you couldn't capitalise on a man down last week.
Exactly.
Look, 7 red cards in 4 weeks. It's the best league in the world.
Yeah, you can't argue. Scotland's got nothing on us with their physicality. There's only hard tackles in Scotland when it's the old firm. That's all it is, but... do we want to talk about the Sydney conspiracy? You know,
I mean, there's only conspiracy penalties. Because you're involved in it.
I mean, we have a few penalties this year. Some definitely should have been given. Maybe one shouldn't have. We've been on the good end of 2 red card decisions, but I will maintain it is not a good thing for Sydney FC to be playing a man up. Last year, we lost a game at home being a man up. And this year we've drawn and we got a win against MacArthur.
Almost.
Luckily, because we almost threw it. Yeah. Like, we almost threw that one away too. So I don't think it's a good thing for Sydney FC to play up a man. I think it would be better if we just play 11, because we looked good 11 on 11. MacArthur really didn't have many answers until we went up a man.
It's only a conspiracy because people are calling it one. It just happens to be that the referees are making these controversial, and I'm air quoting this, controversial decisions, and it just happens to be in a Sydney FC game.
Yeah.
And the only one they got wrong is the Ibusaki red card.
Yeah. And, I mean, we said that at the game. Like, that's going to get overturned. We were stunned it didn't get overturned, to be fair. But, you know, I'm thinking maybe Aspro just wanted to make it seem like it was a derby, so he gets a red card. So, it just means more. You know, I got a red card in that game because it's a derby, when, you know, the rest of the world knows it's not. Well, East and West know it's not. But, yeah, we embraced it. We were singing, oh, Sydney conspiracy. It's great. It's fun. Bring it on. I don't care. As long as we're getting the good results. It probably means we'll re-sign Corica for another 3 years, but whatever. We're sitting third on the ladder. I absolutely did not predict us to be anywhere near that high on the ladder at this stage at the start of the season, so I'm just going to embrace it. Let's go up and beat Brisbane.
4 rounds in, mate. Calm yourself. But
but I didn't think we'd make the finals. I thought we'd be second Corica after 6 with a loss to the Victory and a loss to the Wanderers. So, although that could still technically
that's
happen.
You're still going to lose to the Victory because that's happened, and you're still going to lose to the Wanderers. But because you've won another Sydney derby and taken points everywhere else, Mate, you're in for Corica 4 more years of Corica.
It's good.
As I said, I don't think it's a conspiracy. It's just Football is a luck of the draw.
It'll work its way out. I mean, we had bad luck. You know, Bratton getting the red card in the grand final against City kind of fucked this. I mean, that was stupid. But, you know, we're on the back end of these decisions in the past. Maybe we'll just get squares now. And, you know, it'll swing again eventually, and I'm not looking forward to it.
Look, I remember last year, everything was going Melbourne City's way, and we just said, oh, it's because they've got all the money and the referees are on there. So, look, it's just football.
Yeah.
There is legitimately no conspiracy. You watch next game. Sydney FC will have probably the worst decision go against them.
Yep.
And like a legitimate Maradona hand of God in the 91st minute to lose a game.
From Charlie Austin, and he'll celebrate like it's a legitimate goal.
Because it is a legitimate goal. It's scored by Charlie Austin. And VAR won't overturn it.
Yeah, like, because conspiracy. Brisbane conspiracy.
Because he headed it into his own hand and then it went in the net. And you know, referees in the handball rule this year, it's fucking rewarding bad touches.
Yeah, so, they don't know what it is, so yeah. But
there's no conspiracy. Grow up, MacArthur fans.
Yeah, you lost fair and square. You should be more concerned about your fan base, but we'll get into that a bit later. Before we get on to the Aussies abroad, Bruno Fornaroli leaves Perth Glory in weird circumstances and signs with the Melbourne Victory. So
imagine not playing football because you're scoring too many goals.
Yeah, because they don't want to pay you. And their owner is, if not mistaken, he's a billionaire, is he not?
Probably.
I think he's a multi millionaire. So
he's worth more than everyone else.
Yeah, but,
imagine not wanting to pay your striker because they're doing what you signed them for, and that's scoring goals. Bruno Fornaroli has had his contract terminated by mutual agreement at Perth Glory and has signed with the biggest club in Australia, Melbourne Victory. His words not mine.
Yeah, I love it when players say that whenever they sign with a club. I mean, someone will sign with MacArthur next week and say, yep, I'm glad to be signed with the biggest team in the country that has no fans. You know, it is what it is. Melbourne Victory get a really good striker to pair up with D'Agostino. I think Nani's going to love having someone like him to feed. I look forward to when Melbourne Victory plays Perth in Melbourne and then away. It's going to be a hell of a game. I think he's going to have a field day, especially if he scores. If you think he's not going to celebrate that goal, you'd be wrong because of the way he's left. But yeah, I was kind of, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, Sydney FC, you need to jump on this. We could use a striker like him. Adam Lafondra's lost a step. Paddy Wood is close to being a leading the line striker, but it would be good to have someone like Bruno Fornaroli there. But hey, well done signing with Melbourne Victory. Probably got a pretty big pay rise going there from Perth. And
look, Melbourne Victory have been struggling scoring goals, so this could be a big signing for them.
Which I'm stunned about because of D'Agostino, but you know, yeah, good signing for them.
Yeah, good signing. Good work for Popper. Bruno back in his favourite city of Melbourne, where he did bits for Melbourne City. Now he's gone to their crosstown rivals. Even that next derby is going to be massive.
Oh my God.
Next Melbourne derby is going to be massive.
Yep, I'm looking forward to that one already. But we'll switch.
What we should go on to is probably my favourite thing to do on this show, and that's bash MacArthur.
Oh, I was going to save that to the end, but I'm always happy to bash MacArthur.
We'll save the good stuff to the end, like the actually important things to the end, so people can listen to that. Now, there is, besides the lack of fans and the lack of active support at MacArthur, there is one sentence I didn't think I would ever say in my entire life. Sir Alex Ferguson at Campbelltown Stadium.
Yeah. I was amazed.
The weirdest thing I've ever seen.
I thought it was fake. I thought it was fake.
This is why this is the best league in the world. This is one thing MacArthur have got right, and they have got the greatest British manager in footballing history in Campbelltown.
Honest to God, you could have told me that at the start of the year. I bet you Sir Alex will show up for Dwight York at MacArthur. And I would have just been like, yeah, not a fucking chance in hell. He's got a better chance of showing up to Melbourne Victory just because Nani's there. But he was there. He took photos with players. He wasn't at the game, as a lot of people were predicting, which is why I think a few more MacArthur Bulls fans, I think 7 or 8 more of them might have shown up for that game. But
No, they're not MacArthur Bulls fans. They're United fans that just showed
United
up.
There were a lot of Man United jerseys at the game. I will just point that out. So, but fair play, you know. When Del Piero came to Sydney FC, we had a lot of Juventus and Italian fans come to games.
Which is fair.
Mexicans go to watch Davila play, so.
As much as I like to bag people for not supporting their clubs, it's not the active supports or the members that boost crowd numbers. It's the casual fans, and that's...
Yeah.
MacArthur, having Alex Ferguson there, would have boosted, massively boosted the casual fans, the Euro snobs that just say, oh, Fergie's there, I'm going to go there and maybe meet Fergie. But as one coach of the year to another, we were having excellent conversations, email back and forth, you know, the usual correspondence.
You haven't been dubbed that yet, though, have you?
Oh, I have, actually. Thank you.
Oh, okay. You were the MacArthur Coach of the Year, but not the club one.
M-League Colts Coach of the Year 2022. Thank you. Do not forget it. But Fergie time in Campbelltown. Again, it's something I've never thought I'd ever say in my life. Well, I saw the photo. I'm like,
no, this can't bitch. Be real.
Yeah. Didn't tell me he was coming. Would have taken the day off work to take him out for coffee. But
Gone out for lunch with him somewhere nice and fancy. On you, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, Coach of the Year. But Fergie at Campbelltown, I wouldn't think I'd say it. But then they go to the game and poor numbers for our Sydney derby.
MacArthur.
Poor active support.
We're going to post a photo on Instagram with this probably audio in a reel. But I was at the game, obviously, with what I feel like was like 4,000 strong Sydney FC fans, which turned their normal crowd from 3,000 into 7,500. But the bullpen... 5 minutes before kickoff, I think it was when I took the picture. I think the players were literally coming out of the tunnel when I took the picture as I was heading back towards the Cove. All of eight people there, maybe. It got bigger towards the end of the game when people sort of kept, when they started coming back and like they might have won the game. But just a Sydney derby, MacArthur, you want to call that? To have crowd numbers like that is pathetic. You watch what happens when the Wanderers come to Allianz in 2 weeks. That will show you what a Sydney derby truly is when that place... 40,000 plus people is sold out and it's red and black down one middle corner and blue everywhere else. That is a Sydney derby. What you guys dished out that for that game was just embarrassing. Don't call it a Sydney derby, MacArthur. Stop.
It's a Sydney disappointment what it is.
It's an inconvenience. It's a disappointment. Not from Sydney FC's ends because, man, we turned out just as good as we would for the Wanderers just because it's an easy game to get to, really. But that was just your home crowd was terrible and you can shove those fucking cowbells up your ass because we drowned them out the entire game. Except for the ones that were near the effects mics on the TV. When you were at the ground, if you were on our side of the stadium, you couldn't hear those cowbells. Get rid of them. Like, Jesus Christ, this isn't Mississippi State College football. This is actual football. Get rid of your cowbells.
Look, I've grown accustomed to the cowbells in their 3 years of being in the A-League men's. I don't like them. I don't like them, but I've got accustomed to them. But
do it for everything.
Good for what they consider good tackles. Yeah, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah,
for an offside. Yeah, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, it's just
referee blows a whistle in their favor. Yeah, ding, 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 ding. But yeah, look, it's actually just getting beyond us making fun of it. I think it's actually getting to the point of being really disappointing, the crowd numbers for MacArthur.
I can give you a quote from a MacArthur fan who was there. I asked them, I said, did the bullpen sing all game? Because we couldn't hear them. Looking at them, they didn't look like they were doing much. And they replied, there was like 10 people there. I wouldn't even call it a bullpen. So for your active support in what your club has built as a Sydney derby to show out like that, that is pathetic.
That's upsetting. That is actually really upsetting. And look, there's a lot of the comments as well. Like, yeah, Sydney FC was the only Sydney team in the A-League for 10 plus years. Wanderers have had 10 years to build their support, but look at what Western Sydney were after months.
The first season you had a massive, Parramatta Stadium was sold out. The RBB was massive. Like, they cannot use that as an excuse. You've had 3 years, you've had success, you've had good players come to the club. That is not an excuse. The Wanderers were massive inside their first season. You cannot use that as an excuse in a stadium that was bigger than Campbelltown Stadium. So that's not an excuse. That's bullshit.
You want to know what my biggest irk with Campbelltown Stadium and the bullpen is? It's in a corner.
But they can't really be on the ends like normal home fans
because there's not enough of them.
And that's another thing. But even if they were on the hill, maybe they would get kids involved, which would make it look bigger, but they also can't drink on the hill because that's the family hill. So they move the team, move them to Canberra. That's the only
get issue. Rid of them.
Yeah, I see one like change and it's moving them to Canberra because it ain't working. Stop using this bullshit. Oh, you know, it takes time to build a fan base. No, it didn't. You know, we had a really solid first year crowd every game. The Wanderers turned it into something massive. Yes, they had success.
I tell you what. As much as I'm big noting my club, the Wanderers changed football for everyone when they came in.
Yeah. They made us have to step up our game. They made Melbourne Victory step up their game. Unfortunately, they're the only three fan bases that are
Mate, the squadron, no, the old squadron. They used to pick up. I used to love the squadron. Yeah. The Central Coast Marching Band had 12 members.
I'm so glad that's fucking gone. That was one thing I noticed.
I missed
the
marching band. Look, if I have the choice between cowbells and the marching band, give me the marching band.
Oh, just blow my brains out.
Gladly.
Oh, just be a swimming fan or some bull. But they have bells in that too. So I just, yeah. If that's Nick Montgomery, if that's your work, thank you, my lord. Thank you for getting rid of them. Thank you. Because goddamn, it's better watching them now. I'll actually go to the away game now, knowing I don't have to deal with that bullshit.
I love a Central Coast away day.
Central Coast and Newcastle away are great away trips on the train. But, I mean, MacArthur's a good away trip. It's close for both of our fan bases. And you know you're going to be the loudest in the stand. I look forward to the RBB there.
Mate, I got free seats.
Yeah.
It's actually a really good place. It's a really good place to watch football from the top of that car park. And there was probably more people. That's what disgusts me. There was more people in the club watching the game on the big screen than there were MacArthur fans in the stadium.
That's the best. That's the fucking best.
Like just walk 200 metres and pay the money and go in and support the club. Yeah, much as we enjoy bashing MacArthur,
it is
they
sad.
Are here.
Yeah.
You have to support them.
Yeah, if you want them to stay, you need to support them because the only time you draw a crowd is when you play Sydney FC and the Wanderers, and it's only because we bring way more fans than you could possibly imagine having at your ground. So do better, or the league will have no choice but to either move them or disband them, and we've seen them do it before. Gold Coast United, yep. North Queensland Fury, Melbourne Heart, New Zealand Knights. There is a history of teams being disbanded because of lack of fan support. So do better, or you're gone.
I mean, Melbourne Heart were bought out by a City Football Group.
Yeah, that's a little bit different, but you know, for Fury, Knights, and Gold Coast United.
Yeah, New Zealand Knights became the Wellington Phoenix, but New Zealand Knights were, I'd say, a really disappointment. They weren't a success. North Queensland Fury were not a success, and Gold Coast United is not a success. We're seeing right now is Western United and MacArthur FC not being successful clubs. And the worst part is both clubs have done something that none of the other three clubs could do, and that was actually win silverware.
Yeah, no matter what.
Both Western United and MacArthur FC have won silverware, and you're still probably going to be the next two teams out of the league.
And the craziest thing is I draw comparisons with MacArthur to North Queensland Fury. Massive marquee player that went there. They've done that with MacArthur FC in regards to Dwight York coming over there as a coach. And I think they had a pretty big name come in the first season. But, you know.
Mark Milligan, former Socceroos captain.
I think Tom Yor was the bigger draw, if I'm
Tom
being honest.
Tom Yor's a massive draw. You got Ulysses De Vea, who's one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, he's easily one of the best players in the league.
Craig Noon was a star in that Melbourne City front three.
And
then they've got cult hero Lockie Rose from NPL2, everyone likes to remind me.
Yeah, his brother's about to sign with Sutherland, so I'm excited for that because he's better. But like, I just draw comparisons. Yeah, I draw comparisons with North Queensland Fury and Robbie Fowler and MacArthur, and it didn't end well for North Queensland, and I have eerie feelings about this, except I think they'll move them. They won't do a new license. They'll just move them further south down the freeway, but... Yeah, do better, MacArthur. We don't like we do love bashing you, but we want
love
you
bashing
to be
them,
competitive.
We want you to stay here so we can bash you more.
It's a great, easy away trip. I don't want to have to drive down to Canberra to watch Sydney FC play there. I will do it because it's a good drive, but I would much rather catch a train out to Campbelltown, right near the station, walk down there, dominate your fans, but like just
and then go across the road to Cholesterol Corner and eat all the fast food that you can.
Yeah. Like I walked around the stadium at halftime with my Cove shirt on, walked right past the back of the bullpen, all the guys smoking out the back of it, just looking at me up and down. I had no fear. I would not in 1,000 years do that at a Wanderers game. Or a Melbourne Victory game. I would be killed. I just had no, like, I did not think they would do anything.
We're not into club violence, but you know, there's just the feelings. Feeling of I am in the wrong place.
Yeah, I should not
because
have
both
here.
Clubs have very passionate fans.
Yeah, and do not
like don't take kindly to strangers.
Yeah, Wanderers don't like anything blue, and we don't like anything south of the border or west of the Strathfield Station. So it's
don't like anything west of Moore Park.
Yeah. To be fair, if I can't get to a beach within 5 minutes, it ain't worth it. But yeah, do better, MacArthur.
Please, do better. We like bashing you. We want to keep bashing you, but do better.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the fun stuff out of the way. Jamie Brown, moving on to our next topic, please.
Yeah, before we go too long, we'll get through these ones, this Aussies Abroad segment pretty quickly. Boyle scored for Hibs in their 3-0 win, but it went off injured, so still waiting on news for that, whether or not it's going to put him in doubt for the World Cup. I don't think it is. The boss was kind of pretty blasé, didn't think it was a serious injury, so hopefully he gets back because he is in some good goal-scoring form since he's returned to Hibs. Riley McGree played for Middlesbrough in their loss, but he's getting minutes. He got 86 minutes before he got pulled off. The game was already done, so it didn't really matter. Connor Metcalf came off the bench for St. Pauli in their 1-0 draw against top-of-the-table Darmstadt. Set up the goal that equalised the game, so he had a really good game. The only downside on the men's side of Aussies abroad is Matt Ryan and Awa Mabil still not getting any game time when it's your number one goalkeeper and arguably one of the top three players in the Socceroos team in Awa Mabil. Very concerning that they're not getting any game time.
Yeah, it is massively concerning that they are not getting game time. A bit of a back and forth with Matt Ryan's number one at Copenhagen, clearly stating he is number one and should stay number one. But Awa Mabil at Cadiz, you'd think Cadiz running 18th in the league like might be giving him some minutes, but he's just not finding any time on the pitch. And Cadiz with a massive win over the week as well over Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
But like it's worrying where you'd think number one and Awa Mabil is the starter in the Socceroos every time he plays. Yeah. And not getting minutes. I think, in saying that, I think Matt Ryan may lose his number one Socceroos spot to Mitch Langerak. And
well, now that he's back,
it is something that I was actually calling for years.
Langerak was always a lot better, but, you know, it's concerning going into a World
Cup. Very concerning.
There were other results. Aziz Beige played for Dundee as they lost. You know, obviously, Hibs beat St. Mirren, so Bacchus and...
Keanu Bacchus is tearing it up for St. Mirren and is a possibility to the championship in January.
Yeah, there's a big talk calling that he's going to move. Yeah. A few players in... Krejcic for Brescia also played in their 90 minutes in their game. So good to see a left back getting some good minutes. I think he'll be guaranteed to be on the squad. But Aaron Moy also playing really good. I think he got, one referee?
Poleaxed, yeah.
Yeah, poleaxed. That's the word we're going to go with in their win. Yeah, playing under Ange Postecoglou, he's only going to play good. And
what a hit that was, Aaron Moy. When you say, what a hit, son, what a hit, we're not talking about Steven Gerrard's volley against Olympiacos or West Ham. We're talking about Aaron Moy poleaxing a referee in Scotland.
Yeah, so I don't like talking positive of Celtic, but I like seeing Aaron Moy do well because I think he is one of the better players that Australia's produced in the last 10 years.
Mate, you cannot go past the pasty Perlo.
Yeah, such a great nickname. But it's looking up and down. Nikita Rukavica played but didn't score in there. Their Israeli Premier League loss, but you know, the big news coming out of it was whether or not Boyle's injury is going to keep him out of the World Cup, because we're seeing a lot of it around Europe. A lot of players are getting injured and they're missing World Cup, some of them in their last World Cup, so it's very concerning. It's kind of a massive blot on the fact that we have it in the middle of a season, so it's kind of a joke. Thanks FIFA, thanks Qatar, but you know, it is what it is. We just got to run and like live with it. It sucks, but hey, it is what it is.
We bag the World Cup a lot. We say it sucks, but we're going to watch it.
We're going to watch it. Yeah.
100% we are. Massive news for the Socceroos as well, with Paul Pogba missing the World Cup. Big for our group stage. But they'll just replace him with 30 of the other fucking French midfielders that they've got are better than anyone else we have.
Yeah.
Big news as well for, if we're staying to the men's side of football before we get into our Matildas abroad. Kevin Muscat, one game away from winning with Yokohama. He was like 6 minutes away from winning it this week before Kawasaki bagged the late winner to keep the title match going into the last round. Kevin Muscat's side, 2 points above second place. Realistically, I think he might only need a draw with goal difference.
Yeah,
obviously, last game of the year, you want 3 points. So we are behind you, Kevin Muscat. You're a grubby player, but we like you as a coach.
You're behind him. I hope he fails. But
you shut your mouth. Aussies abroad. It's good for coaches, and you want to start coaching. These are the people that are leading the way for you.
And I am on the record with Sydney FC fans in saying that if we sack Corica after week six and Kevin Muscat gets fired, I would happily take him as my manager, because it would fucking piss off the Melbourne Victory fans. It might 100%. Piss off a lot of Sydney FC fans, but I think the net benefit would be that how disgusted Melbourne Victory fans would be with him.
It's a lose-win situation. You guys get Kevin Muscat, who you hate, but you guys get Kevin Muscat, which Melbourne Victory hate.
And it'd be great to get Archie Thompson as an assistant coach for him. You know, get him out of commentary, which is a win-win for everybody.
That's a win-win for everyone, yes.
And, you know, just fucking Melbourne Victory. But moving to the women's side, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Sam Kerr is the best fucking footballer in the world.
She's the men's best player in the world.
It's not even close. Screw the voters in the Ballon d'Or. If she was English or any other nationality, she'd be winning it. But 4 goals in the Champions League, a record in the Champions League for Chelsea women. I have run out of things to say about Sam Kerr. She is the
there is only so many superlatives you can say about
I don't know what am I supposed to say? Like, she scored 4 goals in the Champions League. People are saying, oh yeah, but she doesn't go well in the Champions League. Well, she just scored 4 fucking goals. So
in an 8-0 win, so she scored half of the goals in the game.
Yeah. I think she assisted 1 or 2 as well. So she had a blinder. Best in the world. And she plays in an actual tough league in England, not like that Farmers League in Spain. So
the WSL is getting very, very good.
Everyone is going there. It's incredible. It used to be the WSL in America that was where all the women wanted to go and play. Now it's they want to go to England. They want to play in the WSL. It is competitive as all hell. And we're seeing so many of our Matildas going over there. They go to Denmark to start. A lot of the younger girls are over there right now getting used to playing in Europe. They're going to be in the WSL soon. You know, we saw Claire Wheeler just sign for Everton. It's only a matter of time before we start seeing the likes of Teagan Mica slide back over there. But it's just really good to see.
Yeah, big games in the WSL. But, mate, Hayley Rasso, former Sydney FC player, getting on the score sheet, her first goal in the WSL.
Yeah.
Mary Fowler also netting for Sydney.
In the Champions League. Yeah. Got us the win in the Champions League as well. She I can't believe she's only 19. She is going to be on Sam Kerr's
level. She went there as a teenager to Montpellier in France, and now she's playing in the WSL. So that's massive.
Playing in the Champions League.
Like, upscale of footballing quality. But it's good to see how Matilda's doing well.
But it's good for her too, because she went to City where she knew Alana Kennedy was there. She knew Hayley Rasso was there. So she has familiarity. I think she knew the manager of City as well. So she has that familiarity when it comes to the game, but she's playing incredibly well. Rasso, getting the winner in City's game against Liverpool. We always like to beat Liverpool. Doesn't happen in the league, in the men's side of the game, but it's always good to do it in the women's. And,
I don't know how hard it is to beat Liverpool. My team did it.
Yeah, all right, Forrest. Hey, we'll win it. We'll beat everybody else.
Most likely.
I'll happily lose to Liverpool twice in a season as long as we win the Premier League and beat everyone else. So that doesn't bother disgusting. Me. But yeah, well done. Like, Manchester City Women's. Alana Kennedy's playing really good as well. They're probably not as strong as they should be. They lost a couple of big players in the offseason, but to see Kennedy and Rasso playing well, Mary Fowler scoring the Champions League, it's just great for the Matildas, especially with the World Cup. We're gonna need our players at the best, because we all know our coach tactically is outclassed by everybody. So, yeah, let's need them to be in form. We need to win.
That we do. With massive Women's World Cup coming up next year, massive Men's World Cup coming up this year. Mm. But in fact, there's just another massive weekend of A-League football coming up. And that's it for this week's episode of the Circling Rectangle Show. Jamie Brown, you and I will join again next week to talk about this weekend's fixtures.
Yeah, good show, guys. Well, us, guys.
Thanks. Thanks for being here, Jamie. Good to see you again.
Let's get 20 more goals next week as well. 20 goals this last season, this last match week. Let's have it again.
We're going for 21, all right?
Do your best, Melbourne Victory. Just do your best.
And it's Melbourne, Brisbane, Circle. In rectangle. Remember it.
Make it happen.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Jamie. We'll see you all next week.